Podcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect, presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. They also provide plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. I'm joined in studio this afternoon by Matt and Tony Moffitt. And we've already heard from Tony that Matt's sleeping on the couch tonight because he twisted her arm to be on the radio. Hi, guys.
Hey, Jim. Good to be here.
Hello. How are you guys all doing?
We are really good. We are really good. And I appreciate you being here. As a lot of our listeners know, I've been having about every 2 weeks, I've been having a couple come in and just talk about being married. And everybody comes from different circumstances. So let me tell our listeners a little bit about you two. Both of you are heavily involved in ministry at Calvary Church. Matt is a pastor and he is the community liaison for the church. He's putting together all kinds of food drives. Every time we talk about Convoy of Hope or Samaritan's Purse and we start talking about Citizen and Sagebrush and Legacy, Matt's the guy in the middle of that coordinating all of that. And then Tony is an assistant service coordinator for Bible Island. She's Woo-hoo. Working with the kids.
That's right.
And that's a heavy load as well. You all are parents of four children, grown and married for 33 years.
Amen.
That's really
happily.
Indeed.
Happily.
Not many
happily.
People.
Happily.
Happily.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, is that the right answer?
Is it?
All right, Matt, so we have two questions we start off with that are kind of the romantic part of the, and I know you're not squishy at all, so I'm not going to ask you to be, but I want you to tell us about your spouse and what attracted you to her and how you met.
Wow, that's going back a long time ago. Tony, and this will make sense to you, was my banker.
All right.
And so every time, and this was before ATMs.
Tony's flirting with the customers.
That's
okay.
Right.
And I took that note.
When you used to go into the bank and you had a relationship with your banker and man, I didn't know the relationship with my banker was going to last so long. But, this goes back to the days of polyester. But I used to
leisure suits?
No, polyester business suit. You know, the tailored skirt and the vest and the ruffled shirts.
We wore uniforms in the bank that I was.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice.
And so, you know, I used to see her behind the counter there. She was, I think, a savings supervisor or something like that. And she would see my bank account, and at the time I worked for the state of California, and I just asked a friend of mine that also worked there who she was, and was she available, and that kind of opened the door for us to go on our first date.
So truthfully, there's a physical attraction there.
There definitely was. She was a very beautiful woman and still is.
Thank you.
And, just back then her hair was much more red. It's kind of morphed over the years and not quite so red anymore. But
Tony, I'm in.
She's earned those gray hairs.
I used to be a ginger too. I'm just gray now.
Right.
So that's the way it goes. All right, Tony. So for all the romantics and listening audience, what was Matt's opening line?
Okay, his opening line. Do you want to go for a ride in my boat?
And in the bank of the lobby of the bank.
Yeah, that was it. And I was like, he was in his policeman uniform because he worked for the Department of Corrections. So he was very handsome. And I was like, yeah, sounds like fun.
Hey.
It worked.
So all the eligible guys are writing down this line, want to go for a ride in my boat. Of course, in New Mexico, we don't have a lot of water. We have a lot of beach here, just not a lot of water.
Yeah. So that was in California. Yeah. We lived up in the foothills, and there was a lot of lakes around, and we were able to take the boat out. And I was a single dad at that time. I had a four-year-old daughter that I had adopted, and so she was – 7 at that time, and her name is Liz. She's our oldest, and the first thing that Liz said to Tony as she got in the truck on that first date,
are you going to be my new mommy?
Wow.
Yeah, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah, she didn't beat around the bush.
But in all honesty, there was something about Matt that was so different from anybody else I'd ever known or ever been around. And after that first date, I was like, I don't know what it is about him, but whatever it is, I want that.
Yeah, I think it was probably our second date. I picked her up at the bank for lunch, and we went out to a park, and I said, you know, normally I would pray for my food. I missionary dated. Tony was not a believer. And so I prayed, and right after I prayed, she lifted her head up, and she said, I want to go to church with you.
Wow.
And so that next Sunday, she came to church with me and...
And heard the gospel, knew I was a sinner, prayed to receive Christ, and my life was changed from that point forward.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, that's power.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love when, you know, she says when she prayed, you know, she had this. Well, you tell it.
Just the overwhelming Holy Spirit whoosh from the top of my head to the tips of my toes and out. Mm. And
Had you dated before? Going out with Matt? I guess I'm just kind of trying to figure out what was different.
His attitude, his the way he treated me, the way he spoke to me, his demeanor, his countenance, everything was so different than the men I was used to. And I just knew right away that there's something, but I didn't know what it was. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. She grew up in a very non-Christian home. And never had really gone to church, never been around any Christians. And so I had an advantage.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit.
Matt, how has Tony completed you since you've been married?
Wow. You know, in the beginning, we certainly struggled coming from two completely different backgrounds and having two different ways of dealing with conflict and dealing with issues. And you know, I thought I was a pretty good guy. I was a pretty good catch, I thought. And so when things would not go how I thought they would go, you know, I'd begin to have a conversation with God and use, you know, thinking that, hey, I'm a good catch. I'm a good husband. I don't go out drinking. I don't do all these things. And she should appreciate me. And I'd go out and have a conversation with God working in my garden. And God always brought me back to the point of, you know, who do you think you are? You know, that you can identify the areas in your wife's life that need to be changed. I'm her heavenly father, and I have a plan for her life. And it took me probably a couple years to quit having those conversations with God to realize that he's got her, and he's changing her, and he's working in her life. And I need to worry about being the spiritual leader and not the spiritual mandator.
Yeah. And what does it mean to be a spiritual leader in a relationship, Matt?
For me, it's having letting my lifestyle, you know, be that leader. We've always had a recliner in the house, and that's where I read my Bible, I pray, I do my quiet time there, and it's grown to become Dad's God chair. And so even when the kids were young, they saw that chair, and it was Dad's God chair. He hears from God when he sits in that chair. And
he does.
He speaks to me other places. But, yeah, that's just, you know, so the kids knew, and they saw, and my wife saw a personal habit of spending time in the Word and treating others with respect, letting Tony and the kids know that if my outside, and this comes with ministry, if my outside actions conflict with my inside, the house actions, I want you to call me on it because I want to be the same publicly as I am privately. And
he is
living on a short account with God. You know, I don't want to have a 30-year account. I want to have that short account so that when I do say something wrong, I do something wrong, God convicts me and I quickly take care of it. Whether it's apologizing to my wife, asking her to forgive me, or asking one of the kids to forgive me, or asking a coworker to forgive me, but keeping on a short account.
Yeah. So Tony, you're separate. You're married, but you're a separate person. Did you ever perceive in those early years that your marriage was being attacked?
In the early years?
Like he just mentioned, there were some difficulties, but did you ever feel like you were being attacked or just some difficulties you had to work through?
Just difficulties I had to work through. But again, because I submitted to Matt's authority with the Lord, knowing that he was, you know, the guy who was following the Lord, I feel like, not many attacks.
That you were growing together?
Absolutely. He was leading me. Yeah. Directing me. Yeah.
I think we've been pretty fortunate, too, that we've always been in churches that teach the Word.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tony's first experience of really learning the Word was where? In Awana, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So with having Elizabeth, who was 7 or 8 at the time, and I worked for the state of California back then when we first got married, and we moved. We relocated from Northern California down to Central California, down to one of the beach communities to take a position down there. And the church we were attending had an Awana program. Tony didn't know what it was, but got our daughter involved and then became a leader. And I love the story she tells about her first time and her first experience with Awana.
Yeah, so Awana is a program where they teach kids to memorize the Bible. Mm-hmm. And again, I was a fairly new Christian at the time, learning, seeking, hungry. And so we went to this big Awana Olympics, and I walk in, and this guy has this badge with all these pins on it. And I was like, I don't know what all that is, but I want all that. And so, yeah, I joined Awanas and learned the Word and grow through the Word. And the more you study the Word and the more you grow, especially as a couple, you know, if you're both studying the Word and growing, you're growing together.
Yes. I always think about Hebrews, where it talks about the Word of God is living and active.
Mm-hmm.
It literally has a life. It's not like reading, you know, Robert Frost poems that Steve Ryman was reading those to me before the show started. And those are beautiful poems, and they're very touching and everything. But the Word of God literally lives inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I started here many years ago, and I don't do it every day now. I probably should, but all the time my children, I have 5 children, were in college, I would send them a verse every day.
Oh.
I'd text it to them. And they probably got tired of it. But just reading the verses for myself and then sharing them with them. And at least 3 of my 5 children have come back and said, Dad, we appreciate you doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Word actually has a lot of encouragement for people that, beyond your own understanding, the Holy Spirit fills you up, and that Word is living and active and growing inside of you. And it is amazing. I mean, I call it magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're not promised that what I say will not return void.
Yes.
The only thing we're promised is that Scripture will not return void.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there's value in sharing Scripture. There's value in memorizing Scripture.
Which is one of the reasons I love kids' ministries, because, you know, Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. So we clung to that many years raising teenagers, that it doesn't say when they're 15 or 20, but, you know, when they are old, they'll come back if you train them up right.
Yeah. We are talking this afternoon with Pastor Matt Moffitt. He's a community liaison for Calvary Church, and his wife, Toni, she's the assistant service coordinator for Bible Island at Calvary Church. She's also a bookkeeper for First Fruits Christian Academy in Albuquerque. They have 4 children. We're talking about marriage, and we're going to talk about children when we come back in our next segment. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
What if you could include a needy family in Asia on your Christmas giving list? You can. Listen as KP Ohanian explains the GFA Critter Campaign.
From the beginning, as we began this Critter Campaign, that is Christmas gift to people that never heard of Christmas Story, today, average 300,000 families receive some help every year in 16 nations that are in need.
You can make a real difference to a family in Asia by taking part in the GFA Critter Campaign. Go to the Critter Campaign banner on knkt.com. Here is KP to explain the heart behind the Critter Campaign.
Why we do this, the motivation always is, Jesus said, I was hungry, I was poor, I was abandoned, and you cared for me.
You can give a chicken, a goat, and yes, even a water buffalo. The Critter Campaign is practical and powerful. Take part at knkt.com. Go to the Critter banner at knkt.com.
Listen as Skip Heitzig applies Bible truth to our world in this hotspot. I am intrigued by that verse because I think this verse could be said about many pulpits.
Many pulpits.
Even in our own country. The Word of God was rare. There was no widespread revelation.
This is the issue.
The issue.
Sad, but true.
Most contemporary preaching is marked by a lack of confidence in Scripture. Scripture isn't preached. It's not, thus says the Lord, here's the word of the Lord. I think that the modern church has become more fascinated with technology rather than theology.
Find more from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
Connectwithskip.com. And I think we need to get back to good theological through the Bible, doctrinal preaching to strengthen believers, especially in this day and age.
Grow in your faith with Skip's reading plans. Search for Skip Hotick in the YouVersion Bible app.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Well, we're a couple of days away from Christmas. A lot of people out there, this coronavirus and the whole pandemic thing has really changed the landscape of our relationships, our families, and all of those different things. Matt and Tony Moffitt in studio talking about being married. Both of you are serving in ministry, and you have four children. Tell me how hard this pandemic's been on seeing your children and staying in touch with them.
It's hitting us right in the heart this week. Our son, we have three girls and a boy, and our youngest is our son Cody, and he lives out in California, and so we were planning to rendezvous with he and his wife and two grandsons in Arizona this next week, and his work has put a kibosh on travel outside of California, and it's difficult to travel outside of New Mexico. And so, you know, we're not going to be able to go and meet them in Arizona and have a few days to just hang out with our kids and grandkids. And so that's really sad that we're not going to get to see them. But it's not as difficult as what some other families are going through. Certainly, you know, we're just not able to see our son, but there's those who are not going to ever see their child or their mom or their dad because they've lost them during this difficult time with coronavirus. So, yeah,
Matt, but it was sad the other day we FaceTimed with our grandkids and I was like, he's so big.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so hard.
Yeah. But that's a really cool technology.
Yes, it is.
But it doesn't replace that personal contact of being able to hang out with the grandkids, jump in the swimming pool with them and just spend time with our kids. And so, yeah, we have our youngest Cody's in California. Our oldest is in California. She also has two boys. Then we have a daughter in Corpus Christi, Texas. Mm. And Sarah has a boy and a girl. Mm-hmm. And then we have a daughter here in New Mexico as well.
So, no grandbabies there yet.
So I have three younger sisters, personally, and that was kind of I have in my own family, I have three daughters and two boys, so I have five kids, and they're kind of alternating till the last two girls. So it wasn't the same as growing up with three sisters. I mean, if I was watching a TV program and the girls wanted to watch something, guess who got preempted? I still resent that. No, I'm just teasing.
Yeah. Yeah. So our house was, you know, with the three girls often dressing Cody up.
Oh, man.
The way they chose.
And the brother got to wear whatever they wanted.
Yes. That's probably enough said about that. Two of our kids were older. We've had two that have served in the military, one in the Navy, one in the Coast Guard. Proud of them and their service to our nation. Have one that works in the medical field, currently works at one of the big hospitals there in San Diego. And that's been really stressful out in California with COVID. And it's been a hard time for them.
Tony, did raising the children ever detract from your relationship as a couple?
Never. No, because Matt's a great dad. Yeah. No, because we were always one, with our decision making. It was a united front. Mm-hmm. They knew, you know, don't go to mom. If she says no, go to dad or the other way around. It was always a united front. So I feel like we were really good partners in raising kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only time we had to divide was when one had a soccer game and one had a softball game and one was cheerleading. And I mean, you remember those days. You're coaching, you're involved, you're mm-hmm. active, you're being involved in your kids. And so it just, and doing ministry, or I was working for the state, for a lot of that. And Tony carried the weight of being sometimes almost a single parent of raising the kids because, you know, I was working shift work and working holidays and working Christmas and New Year's and anniversaries and birthdays. And so we had to learn to be flexible. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we did, I didn't have enough seniority when I was working for the state in the beginning to be able to take Christmas off or Thanksgiving off. And so we set Valentine's Day as our family celebration because I could take that off. Mm-hmm. And so we started celebrating Valentine's Day as our big family celebration. And gosh, there were times when we did it up on the ski slopes. We had set up a big spread and people would look and we'd have candles and cake and food. And the kids would go out skiing. They'd come in and eat. They'd go back out skiing. And so, you know, just finding ways to be creative, to spend that quality time together, but also with the mm-hmm. kids. And I think during COVID, that's what people need to do is just be creative and find ways to spend time together as a family and get out. You know, sometimes we get, I think, a little bit house poor. Maybe I don't know what word to use there, but, you know, we're just locked in that house and we get a little bit of cabin fever and we need to find ways to get out with the kids and, you know, go look at some Christmas lights and have a good time that way.
Well, there's going to be a lot of data that comes out in the next 6 months about what's happening with suicides and depression and all of the, you know, marriage breakups. I also think that we're going to have, we had the baby boomers. We're going to have the COVID boomers, I have a feeling, because a lot of people locked in their houses. sorry about that, but that's true. So I think that and I don't know if I'd want to be, I think Steve Ryman has it better. We're calling his hairdo the Rona. So maybe these will be the Rona boomers. What do you think?
Well, I think we're going to have some kids named Rona from this era as well. They'll be a whole lot cuter than Steve is. But
hey, now I want to ask you, you seem sitting in this room before me, and I hadn't met Tony before today, even though we work on the same staff, the same church. This place is kind of big.
It's big.
And they won't let me in the children's church.
Yeah, there's a poster that says, don't let this guy
don't let him in there. It's just really a beautiful facility, though. Mm-hmm. We were talking about all the fun things over there. How has that been this is off our list here, okay, Tony, but it really has been a blessing that's been there for parents during COVID.
Absolutely. And that, you know, our heart's desire is that during this pandemic, you know, the kids are still hearing the gospel. They're still learning about Jesus. And so we at Bible Island are doing everything that we can to make sure our doors are open, but safely. Roxy over there does an amazing job. We have all the precautions in place, but still the fun. So, you know, that's our top priority. And
now, is that filled up or is there openings for other people? I don't know exactly how
servants,
that works. Yes.
Servants. Oh, we're always open for servants. So we love those that love the children that want to come and help us. So we're open for that. We're at 25% capacity for kids.
Okay.
So,
and are you at the top high number there or
no? We are reaching our capacity. Yeah. So that's why we have the, check-in system.
Okay.
For parents to use, reserve a spot for your kids. So that we don't have to turn them away because there are times that we've had to, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Turn
well, and I know
away.
We've got some older children that maybe we're even their school doesn't have in-person learning. Mm-hmm. So to kind of facilitate them actually getting their work done during the day, we have a couple of rooms set up where these students are here and they're studying and they're supervised and people available to help.
Yep. Yeah, which is huge. I think it's huge for these kids to have interaction with friends.
Oh yeah.
You know, on our playground and
everything has been done very safely.
Absolutely.
I just can't emphasize enough. I had a opportunity to talk with Terry Heisey, who is the head of school at Hope Christian School. They've been totally open the entire semester. Mm-hmm. And he just very emotionally said, look, the people are just so thankful mm-hmm. that they can come and be together, because the importance of that, especially for students, mm-hmm. you know, elementary all the way through high school, which is, you know, part of the student body at Hope. I mean, they have elementary, they have mid school, and they have high school. At each level, it's just been really important. Now, they've had to make all kinds of adjustments. Right. They have to have social distancing, huh. and they can't hug and, you know, do all the things that kids like to do. You know, every morning I remember getting some nice hugs from students when they come to mm-hmm. class and, hey, how you doing, and this and that. So that whole thing, you know, giving knuckles or bumping elbows is just different.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I saw on this past Sunday, two of the kids, third graders, I think, were checking in and saw each other and just, you know, got so excited, you know, screaming and running towards each other, because it's like, you know, they want to see their friends. And so.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt, you mentioned earlier that you intentionally set up Valentine's Day as a special time for your whole family. So that really has to do with this next question is, how do you balance work and your relationship?
We've been fortunate that, you know, when God really put it on my heart to be in full-time ministry, I was in my 30s. Mm-hmm. And we had been married for probably 8 years or so, maybe 10 years. And I'd been working for the state. We made really good money. And God just started this whole process. And so when I was working for the state, it was hard. I mean, I worked 16-hour shifts. I worked rotating shifts. And so balancing work in a secular was, mm-hmm. I think, different than it is in ministry. And so it was just, again, working it around my schedule. Tony was great when I would work often the night shift. In fact, our son, when he was really little, said one time, oh, Dad doesn't work. He's really lazy and he sleeps all day. He didn't know that when they go to bed, then I, you know, I'd put them to bed, I'd go to work, I'd be home before they got up and go to bed. And then I would be sleeping all day, and all they knew is Dad's sleeping. And so he didn't quite figure out that when he was sleeping, I was at work. And so that was a different time. But during ministry, we've been fortunate that we've been able to serve together.
Amen.
In the last 20 plus years, we've served together in California. We've served together in Africa for 10 years. And
our kids grew up in the church, being in church. But I do have to say, when Matt was called into ministry and he got the calling to be a pastor, I said, well, that's great, but I'm not a pastor's wife because I don't play the piano. I don't wear skirts and I don't like to sit in the front row. So I kind of battled with God there for about 3 days. Mm.
And God won?
And God won, thankfully, yes.
Amen for that. So, yeah, I think, you know, being able to put God first, mm-hmm. and I think that with Tony and I, we've always both really put a lot of effort into our personal relationship with the Lord, mm-hmm. Knowing that that's, our whole identity is based on our relationship with Christ. And so there's nothing, and we've had some really difficult times in our marriage, from different situations. 10 years in Africa, we had mm-hmm. many things that we had to overcome. But one being self-feeding, she doesn't rely on me to feed her spiritually. Mm-hmm. I add to it. You know, sometimes I add the whipped cream, I add some toppings to what she's learning and growing in. But she kind of has a different focus in ministry than I do. She loves to do battle and study and prepare to defend her faith. And, you know, studies the Muslim faith and the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormon faith and invites them to come to our home. Whenever she can, she'll invite them to come to our home, saying, come teach me. And so we have, and we did it when we were in Africa. We did it in San Diego. We've done it here in New Mexico, is come hang out. Tell me about how I can be a Mormon, and I'll tell you about how I can be a Christian. And the first thing Tony always asks is, tell me your story, share your testimony. And they don't have one.
So, but I think for work, you know, when we work in the ministry together, has always helped our relationship.
Yeah.
And our kids grew up in church, so.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm going to share with you an interesting story about what used to be known as Calvary Chapel is now Calvary Church in Albuquerque. But something that I witnessed Pastor Skip do that I thought was really interesting and made a big impression on me to this day. I've got Matt and Tony Moffitt in studio, and we're talking about marriage. I hope listeners will be encouraged today in your own marriage, that this conversation will stimulate some thought and some creativity, is a word Matt's already used. I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. We have another couple segments with the Moffitts. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Do you have an old clunker or a good running vehicle? Donate to Joy Junction. It can help bring hope to the homeless. If it's in good condition, great. If not, no problem. Running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us and we'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help? Here's Joy Junction CEO, Elma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless families, men and women, for more than 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have a new additional space to give more dignity and privacy to those who come to our doors. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Imagine this. A simple farmyard animal can change the lives of a family in Asia. Here is GFA founder and president KP O'Hannon to explain the Critter Campaign.
We started a thing called Critter Campaign years ago, and I'm so glad we did that, to celebrate Christmas by giving a gift to the poorest and the neediest and the most forgotten people in many countries in the Asian nations.
Join the GFA Critter Campaign. Go to the Critter Campaign banner on KNKT.com. Now, more of the rich history of the Critter Campaign from KP O'Hannon.
First year, we were able to give it to a couple of thousand families, gifts such as chickens and goats and buffaloes and sewing machines. And our objective was, this gift we are giving in the name of Jesus.
Include a needy family in Asia on your Christmas list this year. Join the GFA Critter Campaign. Take part at KNKT.com. Go to the Critter banner at KNKT.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Matt and Tony Moffitt in studio with me this afternoon. Matt is a pastor at Calvary Church, and Tony is the service coordinator for Bible Island, children's ministry at Calvary Church. He's also does some accounting for a local ministry, First Fruits Christian Academy here in Albuquerque. Former banker. I'm a former banker. I'm not an accounting person, though. I was a lender.
Oh, okay.
And I had so much fun doing real estate lending. Had a lot of fun helping people get into homes, helping people get into commercial properties. It was a lot of fun. So here's a true story. So I'm the business manager at Calvary Church in 1984. I think it might could have been 85, but 1984, because I was here for a few years. And a couple of very well-dressed young men riding bicycles come up to the front door of Calvary Church, and they have little badges on, and one of them says Elder Jones. Mm. The other one says like Elder Anderson. And so I'm standing there, and I am watching Christians scatter like the wind. Oh, no. There's some LDS guys coming in our church. What do we do? Well, as soon as Skip saw him, he just went right to him, and just with his big smile and greeting him, and he was trying to have fun. And he said, oh, hi, I'm Skip. You know, you're Elder Jones, you're Elder Johnson, whatever, Elder Anderson. And he says, oh, it's funny, you guys have the same first name. Now, he did not mean to be condescending at all. He was just trying to add some levity to the situation. But what I remember most about it is that the Christians were so nervous about a couple of guys that don't have the same faith as they have coming into the church. And it was so brilliant to watch Skip just go, you guys are welcome. Please come up and sit up here. If you need our scriptures, here's a Bible for you. You can take it home with you. We'd love to answer any questions that you have. And he just made them feel like they were welcome. And they sat for the whole service.
Right on.
And just loved it. And I say this only because it really is what you were saying earlier, Tony, is you are inviting people into your home. And maybe it's important for people to understand that you're listening to what they have to say.
Absolutely.
Also.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, we have the good news. We have the greatest news that anybody could hear. And so it's just a matter of, you know, listening to what they have to say and then sharing.
Yeah. So I'm her scout. So when I'm, especially when we're in Africa and I was out meeting people, and I'm sitting in a tire shop one time and I met two ladies, and they said they were part of the LDS. Jehovah's Witness. And I said, oh, my wife would love to study with you guys. And they're always looking for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They want to be able to study with someone. I had, here's her phone number. She would love for you to call and come out. And gosh, we had a relationship with that family for a long time until we left and we gave them some of our furniture. But they would come over every week and they heard the gospel. And Tony would always leave them with a question that they couldn't answer. At the end of the session, she always had one question prepared that they couldn't answer. And then when they came back the next week, they would finish that. And so we're here talking about marriage. And I think for Tony and I, it's always been a partnership. Mm-hmm. You know, both of us willing to give 100%, not 50-50. It's not a 50-50 partnership, but it's both of us willing to give 100% to the marriage and to the ministry and to the Lord. And, you know, it hasn't been without difficulties. Four and a half years ago, I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, a terminal cancer diagnosis. And we didn't know if I was, it was in July when I was diagnosed. We were in California and I was really, really sick. Mm-hmm. I was in complete kidney failure. I had 5 compression fractures in my back. My body was failing. And we didn't know if I was going to make it till Christmas that year. And so she had to nurse me back to health and couldn't work. I couldn't even walk at that point in time. I was on a walker and needed a full-time caregiver, and that was Tony.
For better or for worse.
Yeah,
for sickness or in health.
And a lot of time in the hospital. One of my stints was about 40 days in the hospital with a stem cell transplant. And so they harvested my stem cells, gave me 3 days of high-dose chemo, and then gave me my stem cells back. And here we are almost 5 years. I'm going into my fifth year of remission, and God has been amazing. And that's part of our journey to get here to Albuquerque and be part of Calvary.
And there's other people that are supporting your ministry and you as a couple in each one of these places you lived.
Good friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's important, to be in a community.
Yeah.
Be in other relationships.
Yeah.
Very important. I don't think we could have made it through 10 years in Africa without our prayer partners.
Yeah.
Back in the States, good friends.
Yeah.
Still are. Will always be.
Yes. Yeah, who, you know, I can remember one of our donors, our ministry had asked us to move from Southern Africa to West Africa. And so we had relocated, and that was a struggle, and our container got lost. And so we were there with nothing, sitting on 2 lawn chairs, and we had a box and we had a coffee maker. I told God, I'll go anywhere you send us, anywhere you want us to go. I just have 2 requests. Back then, it was coffee and a shower. As long as I can have coffee in a shower, I can endure anything. And we both love coffee. And so we were sitting and drinking our coffee with $0 and a 15, 16-year-old son who could eat the house down. And we didn't have anything. And just kind of praying and sharing that with the Lord, sharing it together. I think that's part of having a marriage that works, is sharing the good and sharing the bad. And so we were just praying over, you know, how do we get through this? We have nothing. We're in a new country. We had no friends in Ghana at that time. And my we had a little dongle, they call it, for internet, and all of a sudden my email goes, "You've got mail." And I open the mail, and it's a friend of ours, and he's saying, "You know, God just put me on my God put you on my heart." He's back in California, and he said, "What do you need?" Mm-hmm. I read it again. "What do you need?" I email him back, and I said, "We're sitting here. We got nothing." And he says, "Who do you bank with?" I said, "Well, we bank with B of A." And he said, "I'm looking out my window of my office, and B of A's right across the street. I'm going to walk over there and make a deposit in your account with cash so it goes in immediately so you'll have money." And God was just always responding and taking care of us.
And through different people in our lives.
Yeah.
Mentors. And, you know, you need mentors in your life who can help you, who can help you through those tough times and give you that advice and, you know, keep going. And here's some scripture, like you were saying earlier.
But also bold enough to correct you when you when they think you're a little off course.
Absolutely.
And call you out.
Yep. And that leads right to this question, Matt. Is there some confusion today as to the role of a man in a marriage? Sounds like you had some people keeping you on the straight and narrow.
I definitely did. I was involved in men's ministry, and so we always had a group of men holding each other accountable and asking those seven accountability questions, if you remember the days back in Promise Keepers. But I don't know that it's so much that men have lost their role.
Mm.
I think we've got, you know, men and women that are trying to do life on their own, rather than realizing that they have a creator and a savior who loves them, who has a plan for them, and it's a plan to help them, not to bring them harm or difficulties, but to help them in life, to help them in marriage. And, you know, our Bible is our manual, not only to how to live life, but how to live in marriage, how to live and raise kids, how to be in community. All of those things are in God's Word. And when we put God first, I often in counseling with couples, I draw a triangle. And I said, you know, God's at the top of that triangle, and there's Tony and there's myself. And when we get focused on too much here and not enough in our relationship with the Lord, then I begin to look at all the things that irritate me and cause me to be discouraged. But when I keep my eyes on God and I work on that relationship, then together we're working up that triangle, and there's less space between us, and we become closer together. And I think that's God's plan for every marriage. So is there role reversal? Is there difficulty? I think we get a lot from media that's wrong. We get a lot that's right from God's Word. And if you're not spending time in God's Word, then you're going to be overwhelmed with what you hear from the media. And so my encouragement to couples is, one, having that personal relationship with Christ, being in church,
serving
in church, giving your time. But, you know, Paul said, you know, put the other person first in your life. And so, of course, God is first, but, you know, I have to remember that Tony is first. I'm always going to defer to her and trying to meet her needs rather than trying to meet my needs. And if she's doing the same thing, then the plan that God has for us works.
Mm. Amen.
And in our house, talking about roles, Matt's a great dishwasher. He does a fabulous job in the kitchen.
So every day.
So I say, you can have it. even though society would say that's my role.
Several years ago, I was in a restaurant, and there were five women sitting in the booth right next to me. And I was by myself. I was just sitting there having breakfast, and they were, each one of them.
You can't do that today, Jim.
No, you can't do that.
Can't go sit in a restaurant.
But each of these women were basically recounting the fact that none of their husbands would change diapers.
Mm.
They wouldn't get up and feed the bottles to the babies. They wouldn't do any of this stuff. And so I was there, and I was eating, and I was kind of reading a little bit, but I couldn't help but eavesdrop on their conversation. So when I was ready to leave, I stood up and I said, "Ladies, I don't want to interrupt you, and I'm sorry. I could overhear your conversation, but I want you to know that I have 5 children. And I have personally changed more diapers than any of you will ever change in your lives. And I just wanted you to know that there are men.
Amen.
That help with the kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you're a man right now that's not helping with the kids, that needs to change right now.
Yes.
Yeah. I tell young couples, it, and especially the young men, if there's something that you see around the house that bothers you enough that you think you need to tell your wife about it, then you need to do it. You know, if it's the dishes and you want to go tell your wife she needs to do the dishes, you do the dishes.
I love it. That's fantastic. Matt and Tony Moffitt in studio. We're going to have one more segment with them. I hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back.
Serving you and your family day and night. Call Bosky when you want it done right. For heating and cooling, plumbing and more. 24/7 we'll be at your door.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosky Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air, call Bosky and we'll be there.
No doubt 2020 has brought setbacks. Ready for your comeback?
You know you're in a crisis when life is overwhelming you. When everywhere you look, there is a problem.
Tony Evans says your past does not need to be your future. Do you agree? Then you'll want a copy of Tony Evans' book, Your Comeback. And with any donation to Star 88 or KNKT in December, you'll get a copy of this dynamic book. You need this book to launch your life into a comeback. Just give a gift to star88.fm or knkt.com. Click under Donate. And you'll be helping our station make the end of the year budget. We all need a comeback.
In a crisis, you need to see the living God.
Make a donation at star88.fm or knkt.com under Donate and receive Tony Evans' book, Your Comeback.
Celebrate the birth of Jesus with the Candlelight Christmas Eve services at Calvary Church featuring battle drums.
Oh, come let us adore.
Osuna Campus services at 1, 3, and 5 p.m. Westside Calvary service at 7 p.m. with a powerful gospel message from Skip Heitzig.
Come up with some ideas to bring Christ into your home and into the community this season.
Service times and streaming information at calvarynm.church.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We're talking about being married with Matt and Tony Moffitt, and they have given us some great insight. I really, really enjoyed the last segment because I wrote down like 4 or 5 quotes, which I'm probably going to post on Facebook, so just so you know. But now I want to talk to you all about maybe some things that are not so romantic, but they have to do with, I think, longevity in marriage. And one of those things is premarital counseling. We were just joking around off air. Tony, a former banker, and myself, I told Skip Heitzig at Calvary Church some years ago, I said, Skip, I think that premarital counseling ought to start with a credit report. And again, not that you can't marry somebody with bad credit, but you need to know before you get married. Because as soon as you get married, you're going to find out. Mm-hmm. If there's financial issues and everything else, those really, as much as possible, need to be resolved. And in some cases, you just can't recover from things unless you are intentional and disciplined and maybe accountability and all of those different things that we've already covered today. So, Tony, I'll go with you first. What do you think is most important to cover in a premarital counseling situation?
I would think how you spend money. Like, are you a person who, if you get upset, you go and buy things? You know, how you spend money. What are your money habits? You know, who, and I believe that both parties should be involved in the finances. It shouldn't just be, you know, one so the other doesn't know what's happening. But yeah, finances number one.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we've seen in other couples that we've been in relationship with from a mentoring standpoint is always the this for that. Mm-hmm. You know, well, you went out and did this, right. So I'm going to go out and do that.
Right.
You know, you got to buy this, so I'm going to go out and buy that. And that, those types of attitudes are selfish. It's not mm-hmm. putting that other person first. Well, I'm glad mm-hmm. that you went. You know, you told me you're going to go out and get that, and I'm glad that you got it. And so just that ability to communicate that and celebrate our successes when one or the other in the relationship finds success at work or success in whatever they're doing. But I think we've seen a lot of couples that struggle with jealousy. Jealousy of other couples, what they see other couples attain, jealousy between themselves, and that just kind of feeds the monster. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those couples that we've counseled and done life with that struggle, it's usually one or both of them are dealing with selfishness, and it's I instead of one we, and they're not focusing on their personal relationship with the Lord.
Matt, have you seen people give that up? Have they been able to become selfless instead of selfish? Have you seen people do that?
Yeah, we've had some great opportunities. Yeah. In fact, when our daughter, Amanda, who lives here, hope you're not listening, Amanda, was young. Tony homeschooled our kids, and so she had them draw a picture of the family. And so she draws a picture. And at that time, we had three kids and a dog. And so there's mom and dad and the three kids and the dog and another man. We said, Mandy, we've got this figured out. Mom, dad, Cody, Liz, Mandy, and the dog. But who is this? And she said, well, that's Mick. And Mick was a half of the couple that we were working with. Tony was working mm-hmm. with his wife. I was working with him, and he was struggling with drugs, ex-professional athlete, but, you know, had gotten injured, got hooked on painkillers and went down that whole road, and she had tough loved him right out of the house. And so he spent a lot of time in our home and became part of our family. And gosh, I think one of the highlights in our ministry was their vow renewal. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So you've really seen God heal.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
When you think it can't happen, there's no way.
Yeah. But it's when both parties are willing to no longer be selfish, to put God first, mm-hmm. and to put their mate first.
Mm. And to open up.
Yeah, and be open and honest.
And be transparent about what's been happening and not hide things anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a book by Dr. Emerson Eggerichs that I share with people all the time. It's called Love and Respect. And he talks about the scriptural premise that men are called to love their wives and give themselves up as Christ did for the church. And then he says to women in Ephesians chapter 5, women should respect their husbands.
Mm.
And he says that Dr. Eggerichs calls this the crazy cycle. A woman will say something like, I will not respect him because he does not love me. And the husband will in turn say, I won't love her because she won't respect me. So mm-hmm. you have this cycle, and it's always a challenge to see who's going to go first, who's going to humble themselves first, because 99.999% of the time, if the husband will just love his wife,
mm-hmm.
even when she doesn't deserve it, which really is kind of the definition of mm-hmm. love and extending grace, her behavior towards him will change. And there's rare exceptions to that. And so it seems simple, but it is tough, especially when you have this machismo going. I can talk about guys because I've had that same attitude myself. So I just want to encourage people that mm-hmm. are listening today to humble yourself. Be the one that takes the first step. Do the things that God wants you to do in a relationship.
Now, here I thought he was going to ask us, what are our love languages? Because I think that's important, too, to know with your spouse.
Know what those are?
I do know what Matt's love language is. Words of affirmation. Am I right, honey?
Yeah, but I laugh because in her bringing that up, we're not a book.
No.
You know,
no.
A marriage by book.
No.
Whoever wrote the book, that's not, you know.
Gary Chapman, Five Love
Languages. Yeah, the love language is good, though.
And it is good, but, you know, it's I think the biggest book we refer to and reference and keep right by our bedside and at the my God chair is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk to a lot of couples and we hear a lot of stories and we think, man, sometimes we go away and we think, is it really that hard? Are we missing something that our marriage should be harder and more difficult? But sometimes we just think that, you know, you get in the way. We get in the way of allowing God to work through us and in us and help create in me that person who she can love. Because in my flesh, I'm not a lovable person. you know, I used to tell people, you don't want to see me go in the flesh. It's just not a pretty sight. And to be that spirit-filled man, that spirit-filled husband, that spirit-filled lover, that spirit-filled father, God creates in me that person she can really love and enjoy being with and even like.
I do.
How about you, Tony? Where are you with, what's your love language?
Ooh, should I tell you or should I ask Matt?
Oh,
quality time.
He's been trying to work himself off the couch for making you be on the radio.
Yeah, right.
So I don't want to put him in a worse situation.
Right. No, quality time. Just spend time with me doing nothing, you know, just hanging out together. That's my love language.
Yeah.
So COVID has hit us really hard because one of the things we enjoy doing is after service or, you know, after a long day, you know, being able to stop at one of the local restaurants and have dinner or have lunch. Breakfast usually isn't on our menu because I'm the early morning person and Tony's the late night person. So we don't match up, you know, so.
Now see, you're the first couple that I've ever heard that's got a morning person and a night person.
Oh.
Is that hard to balance that sometimes?
No, because we've learned that you do your thing in the morning, your quiet time in the morning. I'll do my time with the Lord a little bit later. No, it works well. The only time it didn't work, Matt, when was that time it didn't work?
Well, I thought, gosh, it would really be nice. And we'd been married for a number of years. And I thought it would really be nice if you would get up with me and have coffee with me in the morning.
Oh, dark 30.
And I'm, you know, a 4:30 person, 5 o'clock. I'm early, early. And so I think this day she got up with me at 6 or something when we're having coffee. And man, I realized I really do like my quiet time. Not only in the word, but literally my quiet time and that time just to reflect. And I'm a people person. Tony's the introvert. I'm the extrovert. People would often confuse that. They think she's an extrovert because she works in kids ministry and has always been out teaching people on evangelism. And, but yeah, so it works really well. It doesn't create any conflict. I enjoy my morning time and she'll stay up late and read and.
But I think it's nice for people to hear this because they might think, gee, why didn't I think of that? Why don't I start devoting that time? Because you can always spend the time away from your spouse doing things that are not productive. You could be sitting on the couch, binge watching something and eating potato chips, and that's not as constructive. Not that occasionally you want to sit down and watch something on Netflix or something else. That's fun. I'm not criticizing that, but there's just healthy amounts of everything and a balance to everything. And really the Word of God needs to take precedence and you need to spend some personal time in that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And in the words of a great counselor, you know, if you're doing something that annoys your spouse, stop it.
Stop it.
Don't do it.
Stop it.
Stop it. It's really not that hard to walk with the Lord, to love one another, put each other first. Keep that balanced life.
I want to wish both of you a Merry Christmas. I know it's going to be a different Christmas away from the kids, so I pray God just creatively brings you ways to communicate with your family. And I pray that for all of our listeners. Thank you, Matt and Tony.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Connect is
presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.